Revelation 1, are you there? I'm going to begin reading verse number 9. We're going to read down all the way to verse number 20. It's a few verses, but they're not very long. And so I'll start verse number 9, and you come in on verse number 10, and we'll go back and forth, and you help me read every other verse, all right? I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks thou sealest the seven churches. Our text this morning is verse number 20. It says, the seven stars are the angels, the seven churches. The seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. I want to preach this morning just a simple message entitled, A Golden Candlestick. Father, thank you, Lord, for today's service already, for our special music, Father, for our hymns, our great choir special. Now, Lord, we ask that you be in this place. Father, we live in a crazy day. And Father, my heart's burden for many. Father, it seems like our world today has very little concern for the future, for the things of Christ. And they're content, Father, to just march on their way to hell. And Lord, it seems like oftentimes in our church there's just kind of a little bit of a lazy spirit, Father, of an apathetic spirit, Lord, where we're just content and satisfied. Lord, I'm thankful that Lord, that you love us, you care for us. But Lord, may there be a zeal to love you, to walk with you, Father. Bless today, Father. Help us today. Save those that should be saved and encourage the hearts of Christians, Father. I ask and help me as I speak, Father. May, Lord, I only say what would honor you and help our people. We ask in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me kind of give you some quick introduction here so I can get to the main part of the message. We find that John now, he is near the end of the first century. And he's exiled to the Isle of Patmos. I believe that Patmos right today is governed by Greece, but it is closer to the coast of Turkey than it is to Greece. If you look on the internet, it's a beautiful island. I wouldn't mind going there. They do have tours there and a beautiful place to go. It was here that John saw the vision. Now, he's exiled for the cause of Christ. He's been banished, and he's exiled for the cause of Christ and for the testimony of the Lord. And it's here that John saw the vision, and he was to write the things which he had seen, the things that are, things which shall be hereafter. He was to write those in the book and send them to the seven churches, send them to the believer. And John, as he has this vision on the Lord's day, now, by the way, that wasn't Saturday, that was the Sunday. It was the Lord's day. And John was worshiping the Lord, as we ought to do. And John and God God took John and gave him a vision here on the Lord's day, and revealed to him the things that were, the things that are, the things that will be. And in this vision, John sees Jesus. He sees Jesus in his glorified state. He's not seeing Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, but he sees him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He sees Jesus as God. He sees him lifted up. He sees him in authority as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he sees him now with his authority and his might. His head and his hair were white like wool as snow. His eyes were a flame of fire. There he stood in his righteousness and holiness. His feet were like fine brass that burned in a furnace. And his voice was the sound of many waters with authority and commanding presence. When John sees Jesus, he sees him in his right hand. There are seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp-tooted sword, the word of God, and his countenance was like the sun in its full strength. And John, when he seen Jesus, fell as if dead. Well, I tell you something, I think we're going to be surprised as believers. Our reaction when we see Jesus Christ for the very first time, and I don't think it's going to be like some say, but I believe that we'll all fall before him, humbled and as dead. And we think, and so John sees Jesus Christ here. And we see that, verse number 16, that Jesus now is the light of heaven. He's the light of heaven. We'll touch a little bit later, but he's the light of heaven. His countenance was as the sun shineth in full strength. Now, I want to remind you that, hold your place in Revelation. We're going to look at a few scriptures today in the Word of God, but come back with me to John chapter number 8. Let's go back to the Gospel of John and, Jesus now, in John's vision, he is the light of heaven, but there was, in his ministry, Jesus Christ was the light of the world. John chapter 8 and verse number 12, Jesus Christ, as he spoke, he said this, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus Christ came to be the light of the world, and he pierced the darkness. Man cannot be converted by natural light, but must be converted by supernatural light. And so Jesus Christ was the light of the world, and what a blessing it was when the light of the gospel pierced the darkness of your heart and your life. When it pierced through your sin, and Jesus Christ, He came to light up the night. He came to light up the darkness. We weren't walking in the light. We weren't walking in righteousness. He came to where we were. He came to the dark where we were with his light to save us. And what a blessing it is when we got born again. And Christ said, listen, if you'll just follow me, you'll not walk in darkness. And Christian, today there's no need for a believer to ever walk in darkness, to ever live in the dark. To ever walk and stumble about as in the nighttime, because Christ is our light, and we will have the light of life. That's where God wants every Christian to be, is the light of life. We all enjoy the changes of seasons, but you know, as you get a little older, I think winter becomes more monotonous. You know, it's like, okay, how about 2 weeks of winter time? You know, I'll take that. You know, and be happy. But it's, you know, I surely enjoy when all of a sudden come springtime and the days begin to get a little longer, the night gets a little bit less. I just enjoy light. And so, Christian, you don't have to live your life in the darkness because Christ is our light. He said, listen, he says, long, and he said this in John chapter 9, verse number 5. Look what it says there. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, Jesus Christ here, he proclaims again, in these verses, he's claiming to be God. This is why these statements ruffle the feathers of the Pharisees, because he's saying, I am God. I am the light. And so, he said in John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So his earthly ministry was three and a half years. And in that time, he was the light of the world. And as he leaves now, he's headed up into heaven, he's now the light of heaven, and he has left the church to the light of the world. If you look back at our text today, we find in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 20, we find that John sees Jesus Christ, and he sees in his right hand, he has seven stars in his right hand. He's in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. And Jesus tells him the mystery of these seven stars, these seven golden candlesticks. He says to John, he says the seven stars are the angels of the churches. These are the messengers to the church. And he says the seven candlesticks, which you see that I'm in the midst of, thank God for that, are the churches, seven churches. And so we find here that the church is to be the light. The church is to be the light of the world. So we find here, number one is this, the church's appointment. The church's appointment. The use of the candlestick is to give out light. Matthew 5:15 says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give a light unto all that are in the house. Now today we have, in our world today, of course, there's not very many of us that ever maybe had to use candles or lanterns or lamps. We just go to the switch and we turn, go to the wall and flip a switch. Some of you might say, Alexis, turn on the lights, or Alexis, scene number, whatever it may be, and things happen in your house. Spooky stuff happens. And, I don't do that in my house because I don't think the government can control my house. And so I'll stick with the manual stuff, So that's conspiracy. Well, maybe so, but not too many years ago, they would light their house with candles, and lanterns, and lamps. And that would give light the entire house. My grandparents grew up, with kerosene lanterns in their home and used that. And the Bible now says that the church's appointment is that we're to be the light. As a candle gives off light in the room, so we are to hold forth the word of God as the light of the world. Now this light that the church is, the light is for them that are within. Now watch this now. The light that the church is to give out is for them that are within. Psalms 119 and 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And so the word of God that we're to hold forth, the light of the world that the church is to hold forth, is a light to those that are within. And we're not to live our life stumbling about with no clue how to live our life. It's amazing now as I watch my own self, my own life, and I watch those of others, that sometimes it would seem like God would have to, if God would speak to us verbally, He would say to us, do you have a clue? What are you doing? You like a father to a son, what'd you do that for? And we would say, oh, I don't know. But there's no reason for us as believers to stumble about in our jobs, in our marriages, in our church life, in our spiritual life, because we've been given the word of God as a lamp unto our feet. You should know what direction you're going by the word of God. Amen. So the lamp is for those that are within. But the light is also for those that are without. We find that those that are without, there's two classes of people I find in the world that are without, that the light is of impact. If you look with me at John chapter 3, we find the very first class of people. John chapter 3. In verse number 19. So the church has been appointed to be the light of the world in the Lord's absence. We're to give forth the light of the word of God, and the light is for those that are within. The light is also for those that are without. John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Here God exposes now, He said, there are in this world, there are evil men that hate the light. Hate the light. And by the way, all flesh hates godliness. I don't care how much you love your flesh is contrary to the things of God. But there is in this world evil men, that God says, that hate the light. They hate the light. Here's a condemnation that light is come, salvation has come, and men said, we don't want the light, we don't want Christ. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They love their evil deeds more than love the things of God, and so they don't come to the light. Why? Because their deeds will be exposed. Why do you think our world loves darkness? You go to Las Vegas, don't go there. But what happens? During the day, it's relatively calm. In the night, evil comes out because men love darkness. Lest their deeds be exposed. You don't hear a lot about crime in Dubuque during the daytime, but come nighttime. And so there are in the world today evil men who hate light. I hope today that's not nobody in this auditorium. Well, your heart is, I hate the light. I refuse to come to the light because of my deeds. I love my deeds. But then we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, another group of people. Look there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So the light is for them that are without. evil men being exposed and refusing the light from because their deeds are evil. But we find also in the Word of God another group of men. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 3 says this. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We find here that not only is there evil men in this world that hate the light because their deeds are evil, they love their homosexuality when they love God. They don't want to be exposed. They love sodomy. They love their drunkenness. They love their drugs. They love their fornication. They just love themselves more than love God. They refuse to come to the light. May not that be any of you this morning. But there are some, that Bible says, that they have been blinded by the God of this world. It's not so much that they love the darkness, but that the God of this world has blinded their hearts and their minds, lest they should be saved. But thank God, God says here that that God commands the light to shine out of darkness and pierces the darkness. And so how do we penetrate that darkness? Preach the word. See it there? For we preach on ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. And so the church is to be the light to those who are lost, to those with a godless world. By the way, you say, why do bad things happen to good people? Because there is a God in this world, a small g God called Satan. Listen, don't run to the world for a reproof or refuge. You'll be disappointed. Then you're going to blame it upon God. Why did God do me this way? You're talking about the wrong God. There is a God of this world, and he's, for a short time, he's Satan. And his desire, his purpose is to blind the minds of our young people, blind the minds of our teenagers, and blind the minds of people, lest they should be saved. And so the church has, we've been appointed to be the light. How can we be light? The light's not entertainment. The light's not about me entertaining your children or our teens. The light is not about activities and bus rides and bus trips here and there. Nothing wrong with it with some of those things. But that's not the light. The light is not special music and drums and guitars and having a good time swaying and swinging. The light is not to having Baptist feeds where we feed people and indulge ourselves in food and pies and cakes. Hey, the light's the gospel. And if we're going to see people say this, the old-fashioned way of preaching Christ Jesus to him only, then this lifestyle evangelism, you can live a good life, and folks don't care how you live anymore. What can make a difference in our world today is preaching the gospel. We've got to get back to churches that just simply preach the gospel of Christ Jesus and lift up Jesus Christ. We've got to get back to moms and dads that will preach the gospel, and that's the light of the world, preaching Jesus Christ. So the church is to penetrate the darkness by being light. Not by preaching ourselves, lifting up a man, but by preaching Christ Jesus the Lord. See, Christ is the only way for any sinner to be saved. And look up here, we're not praying yet. I'll tell you when we're praying. We live in a day and age where we got, some of you millennials are so, you're a snowflake. You hear this idea that it makes a difference what we believe. Believe what you want to believe. We're all going to the same place. No, we're not, honey.
Come on
now. So it doesn't matter. You shouldn't be so mean to the denominations. If they're preaching heresy, we have the obligation to expose them. Because only Christ can save sinners.
Amen.
Not a church, not a denomination, not confirmation, not sprinkling, not good works. If people are relying upon those things, they're going to go to hell one day. And we sit back thinking, oh, that's their choice, and it is their choice. But if we don't shine the light, that's our problem as well. And we need some. By the way, I probably step on your toes, but aiming for your heart. We need some young folks, some young couples, to step up and say, I'll help be light. I'll help be light. And so the church is to be the light of the world.
Rather than, here's what I see, and maybe if I'm wrong, you come by after church and tell me. Rather than increase its light, the modern church is in the process of dimming this light. It attempts not to offend the sin of the church, wants to use darkness to free men from darkness. Churches are using darkness to help free men from darkness. And all modern day churches, and all the modern day church does is make men and women more comfortable and stubborn in their darkness. Now you can like it or lump it however you want. But the modern day church is making men and women more comfortable, more stubborn in their darkness. And so I don't want to be that. Because I've been appointed as a church member to be the light of the world. The church is to be light of the world by three things. Number one, by holding steadfast doctrine. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, please. I won't tarry long on these points. I want to get to the main thrust of the message today. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse number 19. How is the church of the light of the world? By holding fast to doctrine. Verse number 19 says, We have also more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, out of the day dawn, the day star rise in your hearts. What's that sure word of prophecy? The Bible. Peter said, listen, we sometimes think, well, wouldn't it be great to have the Lord speak to us audibly? Or to have John here or Paul here? And Peter says this, wait a minute, God has given us a more sure word, a prophecy, than Paul or Peter. He's given us the Bible. And the Bible is the book that shines light into a dark place. Hey, you want to see people get saved? How did Pat Volwan get born again? Being raised in Catholicism and deceived that he was saved because he was sprinkled as a baby or confirmed as a child. I'll tell you what happened. Pat one day picked up the Bible, began to read the Bible. He didn't need a man to come by, knock on his door. He just got hungry for the Word of God. He picked up the Bible, began to read the Word of God, and the Word of God shined in the dark places of his heart. He got born again. Amen. Hey, how does anybody ever get saved? By the Word of God. Amen. It's not some man. It's not some technique. It's not some salesmanship. It's the Word of God being held up and exalted. And the Word of God shines in the dark places of our hearts and exposes us. We say, Lord, save me, a sinner. Amen. So the church is a light by holding fast the doctrine. It's also it's the light of the world by its holy discipline. Look at Philippians chapter 2. By its holy discipline. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Look with me at verse number, we'll read verse number 15 for a second time. It says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Hey, how does a church shine forth its light? By holding fast to the word. Church today, we don't have the right to change the word of God. We don't have the right to dilute it, to change translations, to go for perversion, because it's the word of God that gives life, that gives faith. But also the world observes our discipline. The Bible says that in these last days that perilous times shall come, and that we as God's children, we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. How much perverse does our days have to get before God says enough? It's hard to watch our nation without grieving and being burdened. I remember in the 80s abortion began to take place. And preachers have preached on it like hellfire. And now we're debating whether it's okay to deliver a baby. After 9 months, deliver a baby. Then consult with the mother. Do you want to keep the baby? If she says no, then kill the baby. Come on. Wrong. Tell it. Tell the truth. A perverse nation. That's right. We want to promote sodomy and same-sex marriage and say, and by the way, Christians oblivious to it and don't even care about it. We got transgenders. We got cross-dressers and flaming homosexuals going to our public schools and reading our kids' library time, reading books to them. And yet some of you still think public school has the answer. Listen, you can like me or love, you can like me or hate me. I really don't care. My wife loves me, and I got baby aspirin at home. If you want, you know, if you, I'll be fine. But I'd rather have my children stupid and illiterate.
Yes. Yeah.
They go to a public school.
Yes.
By the way, if you're working one, wonderful. Then be a light there.
That's right. Yeah.
Be a light there. Don't cave in and compromise. And so we're to be a light by our holy discipline. We're to be God's children in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We also to be the light by our godly example and conversation. Matthew 5:14 says, "You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid." Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You say, "Preacher, I'm not preaching as hard as the devil preaches to his crowd. I'm not preaching as hard as the sodomites preach to their crowd." But God did say, he said, "You're the light, church, Christian, you're the light of the world. I said on the hill," he said, "let your good works be seen that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Hey, the world should know that we are Christians. They should know we're different. Too many of us want to dim our lights and camouflage ourselves. But we should be bold and courageous and brave. I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian. And be bold for Christ, be the light of the world. Ephesians 5:8 says this, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now look up here again. I'm not trying to rattle your cage, but I want to squeeze your heart just a little bit today. Because we're to be light. Listen, when you got born again, God calls you a child of his light. We're to walk as children of light. I've told you this before, and you parents have used this. When my boys would leave to go somewhere as teenagers, I would say, "Remember who you are. You're a Christian and you're a mast." Well, the mast part didn't do a lot of good because, like, "Hey, Dad, that gives a lot of room then." But I want to encourage you today, church, as you live your life, listen, God doesn't call everybody to the ministry. Not all are called to be a pastor or to be a missionary, but all are called to be light. And as you walk through your life, and as you serve God, and as you walk with God, be light to the world. Wherever God places you, he puts you there in your factory, in your school, in your job place, in your truck, wherever you may be. He puts you to be light in darkness. He didn't put you there to turn your light off. Hey, he puts you in your family. Some of you are the only ones saved in your family. He didn't put you there. He didn't save you to become dark, to turn off your light and to get around your parents. He puts you there. He saved you from that mess. He saved you to be a light to your mom and your dad. Don't camouflage it. You're light. That's our appointment. Number two is the church's adornment. Our adornment. I want to hurry through this, take a time, but the candlestick, according to Revelation 1:12, was of pure gold and ornate in nature. Let me just say this, the church is very precious and a great value to the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord loves the church. Now, he doesn't love the building. I really believe that God could really care less about buildings. He just loves to use them as tools. But boy, he loves the body of believers. Listen to me. Some of you are going to turn off what I've already said because you're mad because I stepped on your toes a little bit. But get this. The Lord values you. Values you. Some of you millennials, you get offended about one thing and the rest of the service, you shut me off. I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. But you are precious and you're of great value to the Lord. Now watch this. I believe this. Your attitude toward the church, that's the people around you, is a reflection of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Your attitude toward the people around you, this body of believers, is a reflection of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Christ said the church is of great value to me. I love the church. I gave myself for the church. And so if I'm walking with Christ and I love Him, I'm going to love what He loves. You say, but preacher, the church is nutty people. I get it. I understand it. And you're not the exception. All right? It takes a nut to spot a nut. All right? Listen, we all got our issues. We all have our messes. But God looked down from heaven and He values the church. He values the people in the body of believers. They're of great value to Him. But also we are ordinate in nature. Though, I don't know for sure if the golden candlesticks in Revelation were the same as those in the tabernacle. But those in the tabernacle were a picture of Christ as well. They were a pure beaten work of gold. Jesus Christ is holy and spinless in nature. He was a beaten work for our salvation. On the candlesticks in the Old Testament, they were decorated with bulls and with knops and flowers that speak of resurrection and of life and fruit and prosperity. In Christ, we find that Christ is, He was buried. The glory of the church is Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected. The gospel is our theme. And the church has been adorned with heavenly graces that bring glory to Jesus Christ. You see, you look at the candlestick, and there on the candlestick, it's gold and pure gold. And on the candlestick, there's flowers, and there's almonds, and there's knobs, and all these things on the candlestick. And these are ordinate nature that brings the Lord glory. You see, we call them things like love and peace and joy and long-suffering and temperance and meekness, gentleness. These that ordain the believer, they're to bring the glory to God. When the only believer sees the light and sees the ornament, they say, hey, look what God has done for that church, that place, that believer. The lamp that we have, this lamp that John saw, is not like a lamp with a wick on it. Most candlesticks that we have today, they're candles with wax with a wick. These were more like lamps. They poured in oil, and the wick burned from that oil. But may I remind you, the Holy Spirit. The oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. We've been anointed as believers. And so our source of burning, our source of light, is the Holy Spirit of God in our life. So we've been ordained, we've been appointed, but we've also been ordained. And Christ, He lights every man. And the Holy Spirit of God anoints every believer. And the believer's source of light is the person of the Holy Spirit of God that lives within him. To stifle your light is to quench the Holy Spirit. Because He gives us the light to burn. Number three and lastly is not just the church's appointment and adornment, but the church's admonition. Now watch this. If you're in Revelation, look at chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Let me read to you here just a few more verses. The first church that John writes to is the church at Ephesus. Watch now what the Bible says here. On the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. It's my prayer that Jesus Christ will be in the midst of our church. Watch what it says. Now I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, hast patience, and for thy name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. What a good church. They stood for righteousness. They didn't take, you know, they tried them that were evil. They exposed, they had good discernment. And when someone came in and said, hey, I'm an apostle, they tried him, and found out if he was true or not. And if he was true, that guy was sent packing. Because they desired to maintain the purity of God's word. They were faithful and patient. Verse number 4 says this. Nevertheless, boy, that's a big word. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse number 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, repent, do the first works. Now watch this. Watch it. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Here the church now, we have an admonition. We find that the church in Laodicea, the church in Ephesus, was a church that was filled with good and godly works. They were zealous in their labors and in their work. They were patient. They could not bear evil. They exposed it and got it out. When people come by and say, "Hey, I'm an apostle," they would try them and use the word of God against them to try them and examine them. If they were false, they would say, "You're a false apostle." And they'd kick them out. They were faithful in their work and labor. They were faithful. They were patient. But the Lord said this: "In all your good works, I have somewhat against thee." Boy, if we were like that, we would say, hopefully we'd say, "Lord, what is it? What have we done to cause you discernment? What have we come, God, go, Lord, to cause you to admonish us? What is it, God?" And he said this: "Because thou hast left thy first love." You're doing everything just right, but you got to a place where it became routine and simply going through the motions. You've lost your passion, your fervent degree of love and affection for the Savior. Their heart had grown cold and apathetic, though they were doing the right thing. The church now, God would cause them to return to their first degree of fervent love. He says in verse 5, he says to them, "How do you return?" He says, first, remember how it was when you first got saved. Remember how it was when you first, when Paul first came to Ephesus and preached the gospel to you, and you got born again, and the church was started, and believers were baptized. Remember how you were, how you loved me. More than you love labor, more than you love standards, more than you love working, you just love me. Remember that. Christian, can you remember when you first got born again? When the last thing on your mind was, how short can I wear my skirt? And can I smoke a cigarette and get drunk this week? But you remember when you got born again and that burden of sin disappeared.
That's good.
It was gone. I mean, that weight of guilt was upon you that was driving you to hell. You came by and said, "Lord, save me." And he took that guilt and that shame and that heaviness of sin and he rolled it away. It was gone, gone, gone forever. It was gone.
Amen.
And you couldn't help but weep and say, "God, thank you for saving me." And you loved the Word. You loved your prayer time. You loved Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You couldn't wait to get to church to hear the Word of God preached. You loved the sing, the specials and the hymns. And you sang loud. Man, you sang loud. You're the loudest one in church. You sang louder than anybody. Amen. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Well, Jesus Christ. I mean, you were loud. You didn't care what anybody thought. You shouted amen. You'd wave your hand. You were just loving the Savior. He said, "Remember what you used to be. Repent of what you are right now. Repent of what you are right now. But Lord, I'm doing good works. But your heart is cold and far from me." Your lips and your air and your hands, they out of me, but your heart far from me. Repent of your coldness. Repent of your carelessness. Repent of just going through the motions and return to the first works. Return. Return and begin to love the Lord. Some of you have let men cool your fervency for God. You have put preachers too high in a pedestal, and because they have fallen, you have lost your love for the Savior. Some of you have let offense just callous your heart. Some of you have let life beat you up. Rather than go to the Savior, you let it draw you away from the Savior, and your heart's got cold and callous, and God says, "Repent of what you are right now and return to the first works. Love me more than you love men. Love me more than you love titles. Love me more than you love working for me. Love me more than you love your standards." He does not put these things down. He's saying, "But love me first and foremost." He said, without repentance, the candlestick would soon be removed. The church would lose its purpose and its effectiveness. They would lose the ability to impact a sinner lost in darkness. I wonder this morning if that's the problem in many churches today like ours. We have the right book, the right clothes, the right standards. We have the right labor. We have the right activities, the right school, the right curriculum. But I wonder if we've lost our effectiveness to a lost and dying world because we don't have the right love. You see, if I read this right, the church is a candlestick through the light of the world. And if I want my light to burn brightly and brilliantly, the more I love Him, the brighter it gets. Then again, the more I love him, the brighter it gets. But the less I love him, the dimmer I get, the less power I have in my life, the less impact I have upon sinners. Let me ask you this morning a question in church. I'm not here to judge. I'm simply here. Let's evaluate ourselves. How much impact do we have on sinners in our church? Now, I know that we live in a crazy world and it's not like it used to be. But by God, we can't even save our own children anymore, let alone lost people. Our own children are leaving our churches by groves because they're also tired of the meaningless guilt trips. The work without any meaning. The emotions that we go through, the callousness. They too want someone to love for real. Unfortunately, they've chosen the darkness. Or a darker path. And if we're going to change that, yeah, I can preach the hell out of these young people. But if we're going to change that, should not we, as moms and dads and preachers and missionaries and deacons and teachers, return back to our first love and let our friends, our neighbors, our families see that more than anything, I love the Lord, the one who saved me, the one who reached down in darkness and shown the gospel in my heart, saved me from my mess. I love him. I love him. The more I love the Savior, the brighter we will shine. Now listen, no man can claim the love of the Savior supremely and not be in fellowship with the church. Now, as you evaluate your love for us, I can't reach into your heart and evaluate your love for the Savior. I could not do that. I don't have the right to do that. It's not my job to do that. But there are some indicators. And I'll say this, first of all, this morning, that no man can claim the love of the Savior supremely and not be in fellowship with the local church. The church to you is just a pit stop along the way every now and then. I don't question if you love me or not. Because I'm okay if you don't. Really, I am. I have a wife who loves me, and I brainwashed her, and that's all I need. My kids, I think, love me. But I want to question, do you love the Lord? If you treated your wife as you treated the Lord, would she think you love her? If you came home and once you come to church, would your kids think you love them? I want to stir your heart a little bit. I want you to think about this for a little bit. The Lord said this, if you don't love me, I'm going to remove your candlestick. What good are we then if we have no candlestick, folks? What good is Old Past Baptist Church in Dubuque if there's no candlestick? What good are we then? I don't want to be an ineffective place. I don't want to be a dark place. I don't want to be a nightlight that gets plugged into a wall somewhere. I want to be a beacon. And man, we preach standards hot and heavy. We preach modesty here hot and heavy. We preach righteousness here hot and heavy. But you ought to be preaching sometimes love him hot and heavy. Love him. John Newton wrote this. Thus saith the Lord to Ephesus. Thus he speaks to some of us. Amidst my church, lo, I stand, and hold the pastors in my hand. The works to me are fully known. Thy patience and thy toil I own. The views of the gospel truth are clear, nor canst thou other doctrine bear. Yet I must blame while I approve. Where is thy fervent love? Dost thou forget my love to thee, that thine has grown so faint to me? Recall to mind the happy days, where thou hast filled with joy and praise. Repent thy former works renew, that I'll restore thy comforts too. Return at once when I reprove, lest I thy candlestick remove. And thou too late they thy loss lament, I warn thee, I warn before I strike, repent. Hearken to what the Spirit saith, to the overcomes by faith, the fruit of life's unfading tree, in paradise his food shall be. Christ promises to give light to all those that turn to him. Ephesians 5:18 says, wherefore he saith, wake thou that sleepest, and rise from thy dead, and Christ shall give thee light. All those that turn to Christ, he gives light. Now, I know the time is far spent and you're hungry. But let me show you one last verse and I'll be done. Turn with me to Revelation 22. This is a cool verse. You gotta see this before you leave. Revelation 22, verse number 5. This is John revealing to us the new heaven. And he said, verse number 5, are you there? I want you to see it. It says in verse number 5 in Revelation 22, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. The Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The Lord said this, I want you to shine for me till you come home. When you get there, we don't have no more candles anymore. Because I'll light everything up for you. Amen. Hey, Christian, here's something. Let me tell you something. All God calls you and I to be viewers is light till we get home. That's all I got to do. All I got to do is be light till we get home. And the Lord will turn those candles in. He won't need it. He says, in heaven there's no more candles because I am the light. Amen. And we'll bask in His light. Amen. We'll glory in His light. And we'll bow before His light. We'll honor Him because of His light. But until then, Christian, can you be light? Can you in this dark and dying world be light for a little longer? Can you get a burden for the lost who have no hope and who live in darkness and are going to hell? Can you in your part of the world be light until God calls you home? Can you be light? Will you be light? To be light, you just must see, according to what I find in Scripture today, love Him. Love Him. As you love Him, the brighter your light gets. Isn't that true? Well, I've watched my own life. And the farther I get away from Christ, the dimmer my light gets. I want to love Him because He first loved me. Father, we come to You in closing this morning. Thank You, dear God, that You're the light of the world, but You appoint the church to be light. May, Lord, we see the seriousness of that today. Lord, today I'm afraid that some of us will hear the Scripture. And Lord, we'll just nod our heads in agreement, but we'll go home and nothing will ever change. God, help us to realize, Lord, that we must love You. Our hope is in Christ. The world's hope is in Christ. Lord, we've been appointed, Father, to be light of the world. Lord, may we love You, Father, that our light may shine brightly. Lord, save those that should be saved this morning and help Christians, I ask in Your name. Let's all stand together. As the piano begins to play invitation, you need to come this morning, you come. Say, preacher, I'm not saved. Today, would you come this morning and get saved? Would you come this morning and get saved?